Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon episode 169. This is the newscast for March 6th, 2011. I am your host, Ross Scott. My work, if you're curious, which you will be by the end of the show, whether you know it or not, can be found at systemcomic.com. With me, of course, as always this week, is the lovely Alex of Alex's Guide, which can be found at alexsguide.net. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Hello. My connection cut out for a little bit, but I'm back.
Hey. Glad to have you back. Also with us this week, Mark Savory of Autumn Lake, which can be found at autumnlake.com. Hey, Mark.
Winning. Hello.
It is indeed. Also with us, keeping everything running behind the scenes, is the one and only Fess. Say a quick hi, Fess.
Quick hi.
Perfect. And our guest this week, coming to us from the wonderful webcomic All New Issues, which can be found at allnewissuescomic.com. The artist of that comic, the one and only Bill Ellis. Hey, Bill.
Morning, everybody.
Morning. Do you want to tell people a quick word about your comic, what it's like, what it's about?
No, I'm going to keep it a secret. It's about a group of friends who live and work in a comic book shop and have no money and crappy relationships with each other.
All right.
Yeah, slice of life comic then.
Sounds like
a bit of a slice of life, bit of an absurd slice of life.
Yeah, I've been reading it pretty much since the start. It got linked on Girls with Slingshots pretty quickly, and pretty much started following it straight from there. I know I'd met Danny, who works on the comic with you, but I don't think I'd met you, Bill, before that. I think I was introduced to you through your work.
I think so. Well, I think we'd met at Wild Pig Con,
right?
And that was last year in the spring,
right? The comic had like just started, right?
The comic had literally just started. I was like there with issue one,
right?
And or strip number one, and I had just started it, so there wasn't really a lot. There wasn't really a lot of traffic. Just handing out cards and stuff, and doing sketches for my friends.
We've all been there. I think we all been there pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was Kineticon 2008. I had I think 16 strips or so, and that I'd done within the last week. Yeah, we've all been there. I can do 16 when other people can do one because look at my comic.
Because you use the sign shapes,
right? There was copying and pasting. Anyway, so let's get to some news. Shall we? Now, as always, we have our own personal news hound here at the Webcomic Beacon, which is Eric of Exern, E-X-I-E-R-N. Of course, I pause while I look at that. EXIERN.com. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to find much, so it's kind of a slow news week, apparently. Either that or Eric was just sleepy. I don't know. But Let's get to what we do have. So first up is an article that was found via Bleeding Cool, all about the all about intellectual property and some issues that were being held in a meeting of Congress. Did you guys have a chance to look at this link?
I read over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a committee meeting on criminal websites that they're offshore websites that steal your material and offer streams or downloads of not just webcomics, but I guess anything copyrighted, creative stuff, anything you could download. So they steal this stuff.
Any American intellectual property.
Yeah, and they steal this stuff and offer it for sale. So if you unwittingly go to one of their sites and, you know, use your credit card and stuff, you're up for identity theft, credit card fraud, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do about it, but
yeah,
talk about it, I guess.
I don't know. Because webcomics give so much away for free already, I wonder how much they can get away with it and when we're already giving away so much for free.
I thought this would be more about what we talked about, I think, last week with the
with the app.
These sites that steal your drawing and put it on a T-shirt or something.
Right, right.
You know, that kind of thing, but I don't know.
Okay. Anyone else want to chime in?
Well, it looked like what they were trying to do was trying to get Google and basically other search engines and ad providers to reroute all of their traffic away from these illegal sites, basically just dry them up so that, you know, idiots can't fall into this pit that they've dug in the internet. I don't know how they're going to do that. They were talking about how Google can change its algorithms pretty much, you know, however they want to. So why haven't they if they can?
Oh, maybe that it hasn't surfaced as an issue for them.
Right.
That could be. Of course, they've just done it recently, haven't they, with trying to get rid of content farms.
Right. Well, I don't know if that... I mean, I don't know how well you really can get rid of content farms. I mean,
yeah.
they're kind of just one of those things that happens. I always imagine, though, that...
Huh?
That's hello? Just,
Ross?
Yeah, hello?
You cut out there.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's okay. It wasn't very funny. So,
My little pithy joke was that, you know, if you have a bunch of dandelions in your garden, you can rip them all up, but then 20 more are going to grow in their place. So.
Mm. But dandelions are so pretty.
They are kind of pretty. You can make dandelion wine with them.
That's why you have to use weed killer and destroy them.
Destroy.
That sounds like a metaphor for something.
I think it was a metaphor for these illegal websites.
Oh.
Yes, wasn't it pithy?
That was...
We need to maybe bomb the countries that have these websites.
I think pithy just makes people sound like they have a lisp, and they're trying to say it was pithy. Every time. Damn. Speaking of lisps, I actually saw... They're putting on a live version of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog at this theater near my apartment. And I went to see it last night, and it was awesome. I didn't know that they could do that, but I guess they finally got the licensing materials, and they even did the commentary tracks, which was amazing.
They kind of did that at the opening ceremonies of PenguinCon last year, but it wasn't actually reenacting. It was a, you know, original skit that they did for the opening ceremony.
No, this was like the whole play. It was pretty cool to see it adapted.
Neat.
Anyway, speaking of content farms, though, I know I got an email, and I know, Fess, you were talking about this before we started the show, from a group called Scribble, S-C-R-I-B-O-L, which is an online content publisher that seems to be up to something that... set off my bullshit detector. I'm not totally sure what they're like. Even after reading their stuff, I'm not totally sure what's going on. First of all, the first email that I get from them, by any way I can tell, is an email marked re-follow-up. And it says, "Hi, Ross Scott." And Ross Scott's written in a different font in a way that makes me think so. "Hope you are well. Was wondering if you had a chance to check out Scribble yet? Would love to have a brief chat, if not for anything else, because I'd love to speak with the person behind Ross Scott Inc., which is written in a different font again. What's the best way to reach you? I promise it won't take more than a couple of minutes. Thanks very much." And then some contact info. And here's the bit below. And then this is written as though they'd written me a first email when I've no record of any first email. And
it says, "Look, an email from Nigeria."
Yeah, it sounds like it. They gave a phone number in London. I'm kind of curious to call it, but
we could call them right now. Maybe.
Oh my God, can we? It's an option. Anyway, it says, "My name is David, and I'm the VP of business development for Scribble, an online content publisher. Although we're a new company, in the 3 months we've been around, we've grown to 15 million monthly visitors on our site.
Three whole months.
I looked at that.
That's amazing.
I'm actually having 15 million. In the process, we've engaged dozens of partners, including some of the industry's leading blogs and online magazines. We've helped them increase their traffic by up to 30%. We did it all free of charge. Scribble was created to address a set of fundamental problems facing publishers such as yourselves. As your content archive grows, new content replaces the old. How can traffic be driven to the best and most profitable content that may have gotten lost through new publishing? How can we reduce the dependency on Google and multiply the effect of social media? Scribble addresses these questions by providing publishers with a way of increasing targeted traffic to their sites without any additional cost or overhead. Here's the secret in a nutshell. Scribble takes the form of a widget, which sits below editorial content on your site. Inside the widget are a number of stories based on your unique recommendation engine, leading to the most clickable and related content online from other high-quality publishers. Blah, blah, blah. So, the sum total for every click out, you receive 3 to 4 back. Obviously, this means a huge increase in highly relevant traffic. 90% of publishers who apply to become our partners are rejected, and that is what makes us unique in our field. We're launching a comics vertical, and we have several large websites. Rosscott Inc., written in a different font, is one of the few publishers we have contacted. I hope you're willing to give me a minute for your time for just a quick phone call. I'd love to discuss how we can increase your traffic about 30%. Please let me know the best time and number I can reach you. That's the email I got. And Fess, you said that someone else you know got the same one?
Something like that, too. He basically told me it was like some sort of traffic sharing widget, which is obviously doing something that I wouldn't put code from anybody like this on my site, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at their stuff, and it's not wowing me.
but that's why they're sending emails to you with the robot voice. They need the system to really push them over the edge.
Yeah, I'm not sold for it. I mean, I love if you go to scribble.com/4-publishers. You get this like ugly ass page describing how great it will up your traffic.
That is the best lime green I've ever seen.
Actually. Oh, it's such a limey green. Oh,
it's beautiful.
Wow, that's wow.
Yeah. I'm just curious. But the thing is,
I feel like my resolution somehow got smaller when I loaded this web page.
I know.
It's like, well, made for
better. For better or worse, it kind of reminds me of the ads that are on Explosum.net. And the Explosum guys have their act together, but if you go to their comics page, below the comic is awesome stuff from around the web, and it's just a mess of, like, who clicks on these things. And I know for a while they got rid of that, but they had to bring it back because they needed to raise some cash when they were bringing one of their guys into the U.S. and they needed to help pay for his visa and stuff. And so they brought it back then because that's like their main ad source. So they're using something like this to make money. I guess the real question is how sketchy, how do you let your internal bullshit detector, how do you calibrate your internal bullshit detector? So I guess the real question.
Too good to be true. That's one way.
I don't get emailed by these people, so I don't have to worry. They're not really banging down my door yet.
Yeah, me neither.
Greetings!
Also, if it just gives me this weird skeep feeling, then I just ignore it.
Yeah, I'd originally ignored this email pretty flat out until Fess mentioned something that sounded just like this email, and I was like, wait a minute. So, I mean, are they contacting actual people? I don't know. There's just something so sketchy about the fact that this is marked as a follow-up when there was no initial email.
The robot got confused. You can't trust robots to do anything, right?
It tried to divide by zero, and next thing you know, sending out emails and trying to take over the world.
These articles on the side, though, are they're wild and varied. 10 child stars who became broken adults.
Oh.
And then after that, a picture of sales sinking beneath the waves, which is literally just that. It's just a picture of that.
It's just sales sinking beneath
the waves. I followed the link to the 7 deadly sins of indoor photography.
I went to the extraordinary and clever, extraordinarily funny and clever illustrations.
You know what? I think we might have just fallen for this, guys. Because now we're clicking on all the links.
Wait. I had a penny in my pocket, and it's not there anymore.
Oh, damn it.
Voices.
Where did my jar of spare change go? It was right here.
But that's Lois's rainy day money. Oh, wait.
every so often you see a scam like this. I don't know. If they're not just outright hot linking your comics for something, then you know, then it's just a way to snare unsuspecting people and try to, you know, install spyware or steal credit cards or something.
I'm not even sure I would call it a scam. Not necessarily a scam, but it's just a scam.
I want a helicopter.
Oh, and apparently a bunch of ads that play videos.
Oh, I thought it was Charlie Sheen.
Topical.
Just saying. It sounded like him a little bit.
It did. I'm looking
at. Did he mention Tiger Blood? I don't know.
Adonis DNA?
You know, there is kind of this like internal bullshit detector that you just have to keep running in your head for this stuff. I mean,
are we talking about Charlie Sheen or Scribble?
Scribble. It's all one and the same.
Actually, it's all pretty connected.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen. Do we want to even talk about Charlie Sheen? It's not quite web.
No, let's stay as not off topic as possible.
Guys, we'll make a Charlie Sheen webcomic, and then we'll talk about it in a couple weeks.
Winning.
Oh boy.
Okay. So this thing sets off my bullshit detector, and that's generally a bad sign. Really is all I know to say about that. Should we move on to the next article, I guess?
Sure.
All right. Sure, why not? Did anyone see the Comic Alliance blogger on The Daily Show?
Yes. Yeah, Chris Sims on the, what do they even call them? The story about the Batman's Muslim sidekick.
Right. And, I thought he wasn't a Muslim sidekick. I thought he was taking over for him. This was part of the Batman Inc. thing. I thought
he's a franchise character in France.
Oh, wow.
He's France's Batman.
French Batman.
I don't know anything about that. That's way above my nerd level right now. But
your nerd level?
It went above my. I don't actually read comic books anymore. I just get trades when I want them. And really, I just steal the ones that Danielle buys. But, apparently they were talking about this guy, and he just does street running around France. And, and they cut Chris Sims in with another comic creator whose name I can't remember.
Bosch Fosten?
That was Bosch Fosten, yes. Who developed Pigman, the anti-jihadist superhero.
Wow. Well, yeah, there's a few articles on Comics Alliance that if you're interested in this, you can go read up on. First of all, Chris, after the recording, Chris Sims put up together a whole article about his experience going there, The Daily Show headquarters and all that kind of stuff. And it's pretty interesting. Also seemed pretty fun. Because he's pretty much got to talk about Batman for 2 hours. And he was happy as pleased as punch.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's great to see that of all the people they could have gone to for interviewing someone, they went to this blogger who just started a blog called Comics Alliance, you know?
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you know that Comics Alliance is run by AOL?
AOL?
Yeah. AOL owns it. AOL, by the way, owns a ton of blogs that you might not realize they own.
And how do you find this out?
Well, there's an AOL bar at the top of Comics Alliance.
Yeah, I see it now. I never noticed it before.
I know. Yeah, funny how that works. They've got, yeah, but they run Movie Phone, Pop Eater, Earlesque, and a ton of others. It's one of AOL's biggest content streams right now is running these blogs because everything else they do has gone up in flames. Oh, well.
Well, at least they're doing something. Mm-hmm. They're not sending any more free discs
CDs.
To my house.
CDs. Oh, yeah.
You know, one of these days they're going to make money on collecting them all back up.
They'll be like trading cards. Like baseball cards used to be.
Oh, man. Do you think they'll ever be worth something?
No.
Do you think they're ever worth it?
For a while, I had the first AOL disc that I got at my previous apartment, but I don't think it survived the move.
That's why you got to frame those things.
Yeah. They're very valuable. Well, I did have it hanging on the wall. Really, you know, a little thumbtack through the middle.
Okay. Let's move on to... by the way, that article... was via Comics Alliance, and those articles, along with all the others we mentioned today, will find their way into the Webcomic Beacon news post for this podcast. So if you're listening to this via the podcast, be sure to go to webcomicbeacon.com to see all of the links and follow along.
I have some information. Apparently, there is a Charlie Sheen comic.
Yeah,
Eric just posted it. It says Sheen Family Chris Family Circus at .blogspot.com, and it basically just resubtitles old Family Circus comics with Sheenisms.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
Sheenisms.
Medium Large had a great installment this week. Using cats, photos of cats with Charlie Sheen quotes. And it actually was kind of funny.
I saw baby sloths with Charlie Sheen quotes. That was pretty great. Baby sloths are adorable.
The thing is, I hate Charlie Sheen and I hate the Family Circus, but unfortunately they're not two great tastes that taste great together for me. But I like the idea of cats with Charlie Sheen quotes.
I also saw a quiz that was Gaddafi quotes and Sheen quotes, and you had to tell which was which.
Yeah, I saw one of those on Facebook.
Yeah, I listened to a radio show that did that on the CBC, and they had a comedian on, and he had to guess, was the quote Gaddafi, Charlie Sheen, or Glenn Beck? And he got most of them wrong. It was
or the Warrior, yeah, from wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the question. This is something I'm honestly curious about since we're talking about Charlie Sheen. Is all the stuff that's happening with Charlie Sheen, is it popular because it is actually popular because people are really interested? Or is it popular because so many content providers are latching on to the idea that they have something to talk about and are using it as something to talk about because they needed something to talk about anyway?
Well, since
like look at us right now, it is a slow news week. We are talking about this and no other news. So is this the case with everybody, or is it actually that interesting of a story?
I have not seen Two and a Half Men. I do not hate Charlie Sheen. I always kind of like Charlie Sheen because he's like the 80s movie guy, you know, and I never had a problem with Charlie Sheen.
I liked him in Ferris Bueller's Day Off because he was only in it for like 10 minutes.
I mean, it's not like he's Nick Cage, right?
Brilliant in Major League 2. Brilliant, I dare say.
Yeah. Or Hot Shots. And Navy SEALs. Let's not forget how awesome he was in Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
But, honestly, you got to admit, no matter what else, this man can turn a phrase.
He is winning.
I guess Two and a Half Men has been a really popular show. I have not seen it, but so that's probably why it's a more high profile, shall we say, meltdown than if the show wasn't on the air or wasn't popular or anything else. Given the circumstances of how he's, sort of threw a spanner in the works as far as the show goes. I think that's like the big story. And then he's coming out with all these wild and crazy phrases and terms And he's not apologetic. This is the other thing I've heard people talk about. He's not apologetic about any of it, which is unusual in a celebrity. Usually they don't talk about, well, you know, we got a disagreement or something. You know, they keep it vague. He's out there just letting it all hang out. And I don't know. I do find it rather humorous, although I don't hate Charlie Sheen, and I hope everything's going okay for him. And he doesn't, like, you know, self-destruct or something. But I don't know. I have to admit, I've had a lot of fun listening to his phrases and these things he comes up with. He said last night the whole thing was crazy, and he was surfing on a Mercury surfboard. He was riding the wave on a Mercury surfboard.
So he's the Silver Surf. Is that what I'm hearing?
Charlie I was on Sheen a Mercury surfboard, and it's coming right at you.
He's been blessed with the power cosmic. He's the new herald for Galactus.
He could be. He could be.
I believe it.
He's got tiger blood, maybe. I don't know. Never know.
I wonder how tiger blood works with the power cosmic. I don't know if those two things get along.
Maybe it's the hair. I don't know.
I think this is what Jack Kirby had in mind when he invented the power cosmic.
I want a character who's going to embody Charlie Sheen.
I want a character who's winning all the time in every moment. Winning.
Well, if you look at the early issues of Silver Surfer, he's saying things like very small and off to the side. I have tiger blood. He's describing his own Adonis DNA.
I'll be in Hot Shots.
Is that what the X-Men have? Adonis DNA?
Adonis
is that
DNA.
What the mutants have?
They have whiny teenager DNA.
Oh.
I'll never forget that episode of The Silver Surfer when he says they'll wake up one day and realize how cool dad is. And, you know, he signs all the checks on the front, not the back. I'll never forget that moment.
Oh, you remember when he fought the Gnarly Gnarlington guys?
The Gnarly Gnarlington. All right.
I do hope everything works out and he's not, you know, going to, like, go ultra crazy or drop dead or anything.
Well, you don't want to wish that on anyone in particular, except maybe Nick racists Cage, but... and Nazis, and you want them to die off. But do we have any other news?
Did you guys see the trailer for the new movie Super that's coming out with Ellen Page and Rainn Wilson?
Those are two of my favorite people.
I know. When sad sack loser Frank, played by Rainn Wilson, sees his ex-addict wife Liv Tyler willingly snatched by a seductive drug dealer played by Kevin Bacon, he finds himself bereft and wholly unable to cope. But as soon as he decides to fight back under the guise of a do-it-yourself superhero called Crimson Bolt, but soon he decides to fight.
I've heard about this.
With a handmade suit, a wrench, and a crazed sidekick named Bolty, played by Ellen Page, the Crimson Bolt beats his way through the mean streets of crime in the hopes of saving his wife. The rules were written a long time ago. You're not supposed to molest children, cut lines, or key cars. If you do, you prepare to face the wrath of the Crimson Bolt. It's supposed to be funny, but ridiculously, horrifically gruesome.
Which so it's Kick-Ass
again.
Yeah.
Wait to see.
So yeah, if it's similar to Kick-Ass, then I'll probably enjoy it quite a bit.
You did hear the...
I think it's White and Juno.
It's so comically violent, though. I think it's actually violent. Like actual amount of, well, as opposed to, you know, like Hit Girl jumping all over the place. I think it's more like if Hit Girl was real, she would hop slightly and then get shot in the face.
But then
like that kind of level.
But then they so like a dark comedy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a very dark comedy from what it looks like. It looks like. I mean, you can't help but think it's like Juno meets Kick-Ass or something, just because it's got Ellen Page in it. Who knows?
Juno, Office, and Kick-Ass.
Juno? Well, how does Juno fit into this? It's about a pregnant teenager.
It's Ellen Page.
Because it's got Ellen Page.
Yeah, but where does the ultra-violent come
Wilson
in here?
Ray Wilson was also in Juno.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah. I forgot about that entirely. Yeah.
Yeah, that very first scene.
By the way, if you want to see this, luckily, there is an article it is in the first article we started in, the Bleeding Cool Roundup that got us kicked off in the first place. There is the trailer, and you can check it out. And let us know your thoughts over at the Webcomic Beacon, which can be found at webcomicbeacon.com.
Now, you've heard the other horrible news.
What's that?
That someone has bought, this is more movie-ish, I think, than comic-ish, but
yeah, we're out of
two quick points here. One is that the rights to Blade Runner have been bought so they can make sequels and prequels.
Oh, super.
Well, there's already a...
Cheerful.
I have a 4-pack DVD disc of... Wait, you said Blade Runner. Never mind.
Blade Runner. And the other thing
not Blade.
Right.
the other thing is that another Philip K. Dick story is now out in theaters, the Adjustment Bureau. Now, I haven't gone to see this. I heard it's okay.
That's okay. A Philip K. Dick story?
It is.
Except apparently the original story doesn't have any of the romance crap in it.
Won't be as cool as Blade Runner, but there you go.
That sounds like the kind of thing they would do to a Philip K. Dick story.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me get your guys' thoughts while we're talking about movies. How much is The Green Lantern going to suck?
A lot.
Like, really a lot.
I for one, am really sick and tired of these sort of schlub guys becoming heroes. You know, I put up with it with Captain Kirk. But, you know, now it's like the trend. All these guys are going to be the same now. They're all going to be, like you see, like the Green Lantern, I had high hopes for it, but I know what it's going to be based on the trailer. He's a loser kind of guy, but he's good at flying planes, so he's got a job, right? But he's a loser in a personal way. You saw this with the Green Hornet. Little bit of it in Iron Man, but it was cool in Iron Man because you had...
But isn't that from the original story? I mean, that's...
No, that's he's not. Hal Jordan was never, you know, sort of like a schlub. I mean, he was a test pilot.
Hold on, I'm deferring to Green Lantern expert Bill Ellis on this one.
Oh God, I'm hardly a Green Lantern expert. But it might not be part of the original Green Lantern Hal Jordan story, but it can definitely be tacked on to the mythos. I think that's all that these movies are going off of ever, is the myth of the characters that sort of snowballs, gathers all this stuff from public perception, from the movies, and from the different stories that they run. And so it definitely sort of fits with Hal Jordan.
But you see the trend, though. You see the trend?
I definitely see the trend that you're talking about.
Where they're sort of trying to make them more accessible by making them kind of irresponsible schlubs.
I know.
And all of a sudden, they
ascend to the everyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tired of it already.
Me too.
It's accessible enough that he's wearing a power ring and flying around space.
Well, I mean, I'm just sick of R&D stories. I mean, because they keep making the first movie... And they keep making the first movie into an origin story in order to bring in new people. Like, you do not see this many origin stories in comics. And, like, I'm just so sick of needing that 45 minutes to get up to speed. I want the next one now. I don't care.
I want to see Spider-Man after he's been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah, right. I want to see them when they're getting good at it, and we get to actually see the meat of it instead of
he's got all these sewn up tears in his crappy little costume.
Yeah, exactly.
Permanently dislocated his shoulder. That
would
be great.
To that, yeah. Or at least, you know, if you want to give me an interesting story, give me the story about a superhero who's been doing it for 20 years and is at the end of his rope and is sick of doing it. You know, give me that. Give me like how he gets out of doing the superhero thing, not how he gets into it. Care about how he gets into it. I've seen that enough times.
Well, that was like they kind of did something like that with what was it? Hancock.
Well, the first half of Hancock totally did.
Hancock was a terrible movie in the second half, but the first half
because it was like two movies.
It was like two movies.
The first half, which was good, and then the second half, which was like, what? Where did that come from?
Had a lot of promise, too. I was very disappointed with it. It had so much promise because it seemed like it would be a funny thing. And
yeah.
Oh, well. Fresh Prince was in it.
Go out and see the first episode of Hancock.
He was cleaning up Philadelphia, guys, where he was born and raised.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. So let's bring it back to webcomics a little bit, as we've got a little bit of time. Now, a lot of my tweet feed is now full of people talking about Emerald City Comic Con and how, Alex, you mentioned Staples coming up. So let's talk for a minute, if we can, about conventions that are coming up and your guys' thoughts on conventions. So, Alex, you said you wanted to mention you tabled at a chili cook-off recently?
Yeah, yesterday I tabled at the Art Explorers Post number 407 over in Hilliard, Ohio, for their chili cook-off benefiting the Hilliard Police and Fire Departments.
Yay!
Yay!
Now, was were like, other comic presences there?
Yeah, actually, there were several of the Sunday Comics group, which I've been going to their meetings for the last few months. They're a local sort of indie press and independent comics and cartoonists. And sort of the ringleader of all this was Bob Corby, who runs the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, a.k.a. Space, which is in Columbus here in 2 weeks.
Awesome. When you guys what cons are you guys doing this year? Now, Alex, you said you're going to Space. Mark, are you doing any cons this year?
Well, there's PenguinCon. Okay. It's probably the only one I'm planning to do at the moment.
All right. Why aren't you doing more?
Well, I don't have the money to travel to any.
And where are you located?
I'm in the hell of not New England presently, which is like a billion miles from anywhere cool.
There's so many in New England.
So Ohio.
This is not New England. He doesn't say where he actually lives. That's part of the mystique of Mark.
Mystique of me.
Parts unknown.
Oh, okay. But there's no other conventions near you, like
not,
at all.
Not really. Well,
like the next state over, maybe.
Possibly. But okay. PenguinCon's the only one I've really planned for. I haven't planned for any big ones. So my comic isn't really like big enough for me to table anywhere else, I don't think.
Because you're not going anywhere, and you're not selling anything.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the cart before the horse, I think. I would rather have some following, and then you go conventioneering.
Hold on, let's hear from Bill.
Well, you go to like a couple con. You gotta like make that elbow room. I think you have to take those losses to get the numbers to go up. So you can get the word out there.
You know, every con I've been to, I've found at least one person will come up to my table, and maybe they haven't heard of it, maybe they have, but by the time they leave my table, they've become a huge fan. And then I don't gain like hundreds of readers at a con ever, but what I do gain is 1 or 10 or maybe 20 like hardcore readers who become huge fans because they met me in person. Now they feel that personal connection.
And then they tell two people, and then they tell two people, and so on.
No, I don't know if you ever get the big numbers from doing that kind of thing, unless you do a million cons. But I think you do get the hardcore fans from doing it. Now, the way to get links, or the way to get readers at cons, I hate to say it, but is get other artists to you.
Get a what?
To get other artists to link to you.
Well, yeah, you get those business cards, you pass them out to everyone you meet. And Mark, honestly, it's like I would see about trying to put together, like, go through Comics Press or Kablam and print something. You got, like, one of your stories. You got lots of stories. I don't know if they're all print, how well they're printable or not, but try that out. Then you got something that people can at least flip through. I mean, that's, you know, exposure is one thing, and if you got like material they can check out there, you know, whether or not they buy that, you give them a business card and they'll check it out more. I mean, that's kind of the perpetuating function of cons for especially people that aren't already big. For the people that are already big, they're the ones making money at the cons. So you got to start with the exposure, then you get up to, at least this is my perception.
And then you go drink with the people that are already big, and then they link you, and
drink and link.
Exactly. For our profits.
Drink and link. Drink and link. That's a great
drink and link.
The drink and link. I like it. No, that's so true though. I mean, I've gotten my traffic's grown a lot over the last couple of years. starting at like 100 a day to now a lot more than that. numbers are weird, but like most of that, like all the big jumps are from links, you know? I mean, they're from referrals from other sites.
I think most of the stuff is like you were saying, is it's not, you're going to be very lucky if you get these huge jumps in numbers. It's all incremental. It's all a slow building process.
Yeah.
You're going to gather people at different times.
Yeah.
It is true.
Yeah. Now, Alex, how about you? Con schedule other than Staple?
Space, not Staple.
Space.
Let's see. I'm going to PenguinCon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ASEN for the first time. I've never been there. I'm really excited about that one. Hoping to get back to Kineticon.
Yay!
Although getting information out of them is like pulling teeth so far.
Not at the moment.
I'm hoping to make a try for Otakon too. Mm-hmm. And then my only other confirmed convention this year is also Cincinnati Comic Expo in September.
Cool.
That's actually over Intervention weekend, so unfortunately I won't be going back to Intervention.
I just got invited to a wedding the weekend of Intervention that I can't miss.
Oh. Yeah, I actually have to go to my cousin's wedding over Memorial Day weekend, which means I'll miss MarCon, which is the local sci-fi convention here in Columbus.
Yeah, could someone please tell everyone I know to stop getting married on convention weekends?
Exactly.
That's got to stop. But
we're getting out of time here.
Oh,
you're running out of time here.
Running out of time.
We got three and a half minutes ish. 3 minutes.
Well,
I'll be going to PenguinCon, of course. I'll be also going to Anime Detour, which is in a few weeks. SpringCon, which is in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that's it for before the summer. So.
All right. Currently, all I'm going to is a Wild Pig Con in New Jersey and Comic Geek Speak in Pennsylvania.
Oh, and I'm so glad to go to Comic Geek Speak.
Oh, I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
If
people to table, you just let me know.
I'll try to put in a good word. I'll see if I can get you along. Anybody who wants to, just drop me an email.
And where can they drop me an email?
They can drop me an email at allnewissues@gmail.com.
Oh, super.
And, so Wild Pig is going to be on April 3rd in New Jersey, and CGS Super Show is going to be April 30th and May 1st. Yeah, I can't wait to go to that, especially since all these great bands like Kirby Crackle and H2 Awesome are going to be performing there also. It's going to be really awesome.
Nice. On the subject of not exactly conventions, anyone in the DC area should come to Super Art Fight's first ever DC show in DC proper, featuring Super Art Fight alums. We're doing 3 ranked matches, not to mention our first ever pairing with a burlesque troupe. So it will be Art Fight and Burlesque in the same place, which should be amazing. I hear rumors about a Pac-Man burlesque happening.
It tastes great together.
Glump, yeah, glump, exactly.
Glump, 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 glump.
So be sure to come check it out. It's March 18th at the Red Palace. The next week we have a show in Frederick. And then in April 22nd we have SAFX, our 10th big Baltimore show coming up. We're working on a musical guest for that right now. So be sure to stay tuned for details to that at superartfight.com. All right. Well, with that, thank you all so much for tuning in to this banter-filled edition of the Webcomic Beacon. I've been your host, Ross Scott. With me has been Alex of Alex's Guide, Fess of PSI. By the way, Fess, I don't think I gave out your webcomic address before. I'm sorry. PSIWebcomic.com. Mark Sader, Savory of Autumn Lake, Bill Ellis of All New Issues, and thanks again to Eric for all of his work putting together all of our news. If you find any news or you want to comment on the show, send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or just leave comments on our posts over at the Webcomic Beacon website, webcomicbeacon.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Thanks everyone listening in the Ustream and vocal chats. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you all so much for listening. And with that, as we end every week's show, have a great week and peanut butter and jelly. See you next time.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.